Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, Peter Feller, welcome to Open House.
Thanks, Sheridan.
Boy, sitting here in a nice hotel in Sydney, it's a far cry from selling lamingtons and macadamia nuts to get petrol money for the next gig, wasn't it?
Well, actually, I've got to head out in a minute and take a basket of lamingtons with me just to pay for the room, you know.
Really has been an interesting pathway for you, hasn't it? Started in Mooloolaba all of those years ago. Was it the freezer?
Coming down Sydney way, Wollongong and Newcastle, all them places, playing them, I guess, about 18, 19 years ago, maybe 20 years ago now. And we had this older fruit truck that it was we bought off of a friend that we knew, and it was, sprayed out inside with foam to keep the fruit cool. And on the side of the truck, it had the names of all the Indian restaurants that he used to kind of service, and we couldn't afford to paint the truck. And so I think, for the first few years, everyone thought the band's name was Tandoori Taj, you know.
And then things started to really take off for you. I mean, talking about the move from Australia to the US, how difficult was that to make, leaving home, packing up shop, etc.?
It was very difficult in a lot of ways. We never really had the idea to do it. It was someone else's idea. It was really, we opened up for White Hart in 1987, and they were sort of, it was probably their second tour of Aussie, but it was their first tour to kind of headline. I think they'd come out with maybe Amy Grant or Michael W. Smith at that time, and so we had an opportunity to open up for them. We weren't sure, kind of the Aussie way we are, we don't know if we're going to get ripped off in some form or fashion, so we weren't sure about doing it, but we got talked into doing it. And when we played the show, there was in the band at the time, in White Hart, was Tommy Sims and Billy Smiley, two producers, and they saw us, they watched our set, and it was, I think it was either 3 weeks or 6 weeks later, I can't remember exactly, but it was either three or six. It was Christmas Day, actually, 1987. We hopped on a plane for New York City to go and sign a record deal. Didn't play any shows at that time over there. Didn't even think about playing America. It wasn't in our minds. I think maybe a couple of the guys that might have been, a few dreamers, But for me, it was really, I'll go there, And so we sold whatever we had, and bought some tickets and went over there. And a few of the guys probably thought it was going to be the dreamland. We were going to go there and sign a big record deal, buy some big houses and buy a yacht for all of our friends. It was quite the opposite of that. And we sat in a studio, freezing cold and watching snow fall out of the sky, something I'd never seen before. But coming back to Aussie, I think we saw something. We saw a bigger world. We saw some things that, we'd like to have a crack at. Then maybe that was the start of it, but it's been a long trip, and I think for a lot of the guys, obviously the band now, Newsboys, is that we don't have the original lineup, and I think the only way I could probably explain that is because some of the fellas, their dreams were crushed, or maybe the dreams that they had, it didn't quite look like how they thought it should, and I understood that. For me, it was a little different. I'm probably here 22 years later because of the grace of God, but also I was somebody that I was just happy not to be digging ditches or doing landscaping or bricklaying or, not that there's anything wrong with any of that. But for me, in my life, I knew there was something I had to do, and I didn't get in it for the money. If you're in it for the fame, then that's relative. There's always going to be someone more famous. So we're still here. Find anyone that would listen, I think, really. It wasn't so much that we had a desire to leave Aussie. It was more of a, we were just trying to find anyone that would listen to us, and it was really that. And we found people, different places, and that's grown over the last 15, 20 years.
This is Open House. Peter Feller from the Newsboys is with us. Preacher's kid.
Yeah, I grew up with the whole lot of Christianese, a lot of hellfire and brimstone, all that kind of stuff. And I grew up with great parents, I have to say. I have to give them honour because they were great. My dad's a good man, and my mum, they still travel with us quite a bit and come overseas, and they're coming with us this next trip. And but it was more, I think I made one of the great mistakes that many people can fall into, and that is you see some of the judgmentalism and the hypocrisy in church, and you cause that to come between your faith. And I think I did that for a few years, and it hasn't been until maybe the last, just the last little while in some ways in my mind, that I've really had a fresh outlook on my faith, and working it out and just reading the words of Jesus for myself, you know what I mean, and doing them, you know what I mean, and finding life in that and believing, you know, I mean, I guess you have to look at it two ways. You know, he was either, a lot of times we'll hear people talk, well, he was, I believe Jesus, you know, I believe, you know, Jesus came and walked on the earth, but I'm not sure about the Son of God business, and he was a good teacher and a, you know, and a good man, and well, I sort of, for my life, I had to make a decision where he was either a, you know, you have to take him as either a lunatic, you know, this is madman saying, hey, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father unless they come through me, and or he's exactly that. And so for me, I really had to, you know, looking around, searching at different things, traveling the earth and being in countries where there's lots of different beliefs all around this earth. And for me, it really came down to just seeing that, yeah, I know there's a creator behind all this, the great artist, and at the beginning, he had a plan for something awesome. What I believe is something got stuffed up in that beginning, and something else sent into the earth and caused a lot of havoc. You know, we still see it today. We see it through things like poverty and hatred and bitterness and malice and anger. And I mean, it's this thing so powerful it causes a man to kill another man, and we see that on the earth. And I believe that that's what God hates. You know, a lot of times we hear about, well, God loves you. Well, there's a few things he hates too, and I believe that's one of them, the effects of this work and the evil work. And so I believe he did something about it. That's the only thing that makes sense to me, is that the only thing that could defeat that powerful evil work is something more powerful and great and good than it. And the only thing more powerful than it is something that has defeated death. And the only thing that's defeated death is Christ, in far as I can see, and as far as what I believe in my heart. My head doesn't always tell me that, but it's not all about my head. I can't trust my feelings, but I've got to trust God's word. And I go to that, you know. And so, for me, that's really been a strong foundation in my life. And I think what it all comes down to is love. And what is love? God is love. You know, that's what the Bible says. And love is, there's fruits of love. You know, it's gentleness and patience and kindness and forgiveness and giving away to yourself. And I'm just trying to, you know, stick to that myself. And these are things I maybe didn't know as a kid. I just saw, maybe I had religion for a lot of years, and religion can sometimes bring some form of confusion.
Let's get the realities of life on the road for you. Before we press record, you were telling me just about the challenging nature, actually, of touring with the Newsboys. I mean, there's 15 or 20 people, plus their families, really, to some degree, that have got to be in some way supported through this. A lot of people kind of think, well, here's the Newsboys. You'd have to be considered what the super band of Christian music, I'd suggest, these days. And yeah, that's actually not that easy, is it?
You know, I've been on tour before, and you know, lying in my bunk on the tour bus, rolling down some freeway, and coming towards the end of the tour, and I'm $800,000 in debt because of, you know, expenses and things that have incurred, things that went wrong, things that didn't go as right as I were meant to go, but you know what? There's still a peace there, because that's not my God. You know what I mean? It's not my God. It's not I didn't get in it for the money. I never got. In fact, the first 7 years, I didn't really earn any money. You know, I mean, when my wife and I married, we didn't even have our own flat. We had a house with there was three other band members and their wives and crew, and you know, we were like hippies. You know what I mean? And it sounds all romantic, but it wasn't. You know, it wasn't the idea that any of us had, and so it was tough. And so if you were in it for the mansion, then you were going to be really disappointed. And again, the fame, you know, it's relative. But yes, there are a lot of times when the finances are tough and things are hard, but we've come to Aussie a lot of times and toured and walked away and had to write a very big check, you know, just for being here ourselves, but no regrets.
So who's Peter Furler when he takes off the lead singer of Newsboys hat?
Husband, you know. I've been married for 17 years now to my wife, Summer. That's the most important thing to me outside of my faith. I'm pretty quiet, you know. I love my mates in my band. I love my mates in the crew. I've got Aussies and Kiwis that have been with us for 22 years. I don't take myself too seriously, you know what I mean? I'm capable to fall. I'm capable to be thinking the worst things. But greater is he that's within me, that's he that's in the world.
You mentioned your wife Summer there and 17 years of marriage. You've both been very open about the fact, though, that hasn't always been good.
Well, I think, you know, I kind of, I think growing up an Aussie, you know, with the boys, hanging out with the boys, and when you're in a band, you know, when you grow up in Aussie, it's like the boys head down the pub, they go, and there's this real kind of different life. And when you get married, that life, it either ceases and you get called, well, you're henpecked or you're something like this, or you just keep going on that way and that's the way it's going to be, woman type of thing. And neither of them are really that healthy, but there is something that's real healthy, and I think that can transcend into the rest of your life, where and it did in my life for quite a few years, where it was the band and then it was my marriage. And and so the two of us, for quite, you know, she'd come on the road for the first couple of years, then she stayed home, and when we weren't living with 20 people, got our own house, and so she'd stay home and kind of really kind of fix up the house, and that would be her world. And I'd come back from Marrakesh, Morocco, or somewhere on a different time zone, different headspace, and we'd try to connect, you know what I mean? And it just wasn't working. And by the grace of God, we didn't give up on that. It took both of us to realize that we were both at fault in certain areas, and that, again, that was grace. And we're having our greatest time now. But yes, there's been times where, you know, we don't talk about it much in public. There's been times where it wasn't looking good, and it was been times where, is this going to work out? You know what I mean? But I have to say now, especially in the last couple of years, we've hit a new plateau in just our communication. But we make a habit of it, you know, where every day that we can, we'll sit down and just read. Might take 15 minutes and pray together. And they were things that I was probably scared of in my first 10, 12 years of marriage, and it's really helped us to become closer to being one, and it's really had massive effect on our marriage, just even that thing happening every morning, and making the effort to do it. God blesses it, he does.
Peter Feller is with us from the Newsboys on Open House, theopenhouse.net.au. Millions of albums sold, thousands of gigs. What's been the most memorable gig that you have ever done with the Newsboys?
Ones that I'll always remember. You know, Marrakesh, Morocco, in front of 15,000 Muslims. It was called Friendship Festival, and they wanted to invite a bunch of bands from the West and to play with a bunch of local acts, and just to be, you know, to let music unite and to be on one stage together. And so we were the Aussie team, and it was powerful, a whole different culture. So we saw a lot of incredible, powerful things happen, things that I'd never seen before in any shows. Things like, it was heavily armed, you know, a lot of around the ruler of the area didn't want any sort of skullduggery, and so it was around. We saw a lot of people, you know, kind of really getting beat up with rifles and things, because any time the crowd got a little bit out of hand, it was pretty vicious. But a big shock to us. We're used to kind of just normal security guards, you know, I mean, might tell people to get down or something. But yeah, I remember one guard on the side of the stage, and he just stood there, real sort of, it's kind of stoic and like a statue most of the night. And we got to the last song. It was a song called I'm Free. Free to run, free to dance, free to sing, and we just started playing it, and I just started kind of dancing, and the security guard just out of the blue just begins to start dancing. I was kind of jealous because he danced better than I could dance, but he also had this, something was over him that wasn't over me at that time, and through a translator at the end of the night, we asked him, we noticed you were standing there the whole show, and then just at the end, you begin to dance, which really was out of character for what them guys were meant to be doing at the time. And he said, I don't know what come over me. And he said, Spirit Man began to sing a song and something began to come over me and I just had to dance. And so there was lots of things, many, many testimonies like that. Later on after that, we got to play at a New Age festival on the Sea of Galilee. And that was tremendous, you know, again, a very powerful night of Buddhism, Hinduism, nudism, it was all there. You know, a lot of people smoking various substances, and through the power of the gospel and peace and love, was there complete unity? No, but there was a power there. There was something happening when you kind of can, you know, flick a little light into a different sort of place. It can really create some effects that all of us there, even band and crew, really sensed that was a powerful night, and something I won't forget.
Peter Feller, it's been great to have you on Open House. Thanks so much for your time.
Appreciate you too. Thanks. And hi to all the listeners. Appreciate you, Aussie. Thanks.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.